Thank you, Mimi. It is amazing to me how God is able to place all the pieces together. So many times, Brother Rich would talk about a tapestry of life, about how things interweave in your life. On Wednesday, as I was mentioning, we started our study on words of encouragement, serving through encouragement. And then what I'm going to do this morning is read a bit more scripture that is in your bulletin, kind of ties in with the sermon thoughts we're having last week as our study continues on in the book of Ephesians. I'm reading in the fourth chapter, and I'm reading down, starting out in the 25th verse. Now, as I'm doing this, as I'm speaking to you this morning, I'm going to make you aware of one item over there. Occasionally, I've gotten certain gifts. One of the wonderful things my mom gave me and runs my sister somewhat is we have a little thing called an inner ear. Occasionally gives us a little fit like that. You know, you get this, they call it a nice name, Meniere's. I don't know if you ever heard these things. I get this little thing. I get a little imbalance and all like that. I start to sweat and all like this. So you got me. You catch on that side. So if you stood me up here and looking all, you know, don't you worry, everything will be nice and fine. I get these little spells every now and then. It's just a little imbalance and all like that. Actually, it's a lot of fun if you're not having something you have to be precise with. I'm going to use that one as a task that we've been challenged with. The guys are going to help out on some of these Bibles and putting these little templates in here. And we've been challenged because someone this morning told us that we're not detail-oriented. And I'd like to challenge that. The problem is I can't remember who said it because I didn't listen to the details. So I have no idea about the details. So this will be a great challenge. So you pray, and I want to start out in this 25th verse. And it's a phrase that Sister Evelyn many years would use and around churches, around concerts and all. And she said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And people have a question about what you're talking about. What do you mean? What do you mean don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Don't. And I want to read in the 25th, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. I like that. We're a family. And I feel that no stronger anywhere than I do here at Mount Calvary Community Church. We are family. God has given us that. I think it's an absolute wonderful gift. 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I'm not going to quote my mother. She'd always had the phrase, which I've told you before. She said, never let the sun go down on your wrath. My husband and I, we decide to stay up and fight. I'm not going to tell you that this morning because that's not scripture. Let him who stole steal no longer. This is the good part. Read 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands. What is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Wow. I'm going to read that again. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. There is a purpose in God. There is a purpose that God gives you all this talent, all of these wonderful blessings that you have in your life. And I'm sad to tell you that so many times it is not about you. It is about something or someone around you that is in need. Encouragement blesses another. It blesses another, and God uses that. No, let Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 31. Oh, this is good. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's pretty hard to go to a Heavenly Father and ask forgiveness when within your heart you cannot forgive another. One of the basic principles we find in Christianity. And then I'm going to jump all the way down to the 5th chapter and the 15th verse, the one that should be, yes, it's listed in your bulletin. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Redeeming the time. At Scott Air Force Base, there is a sign on the wall. And it reads, an untrained soldier is simply a target. An untrained soldier is simply a target. And I think that sign on that base applies to we here in churches. God has blessed us. He has brought in people that I keep scratching my head, and folks walk in, and how God will send us individuals that I could never in my life have chosen. When people walk in on concert night and they hear Miss Geedy, when they hear Terry, they play and they said, oh my goodness, God has blessed you with wonderful musicians. And I said, yes, they're talented. I taught them everything I know. And I said, but the one thing that I couldn't tell them that they have brought with them is the biggest hearts of any musicians that I've known. Sitting out in this congregation today, there are people with fabulous voices. There are people that have talents. There are people that... But the thing that I am so excited about, there are people who exhibit the joy of the Lord within their lives and are willing to share that. What a wonderful, great talent that is. We celebrate together. We have joy together. And when it's time to cry, we all can share a tear together. But I believe that we have a great challenge. To train people so that they can better understand and grapple with the issues of life today. Miss Ruby, within that room there, when the Word of God is open and the truth is brought forth, it is not one-dimensional, because trust me, not every lady that walks in that room comes from the same background. Not every lady that walks in that room has the same experiences with churches or life. And God, through His wisdom, allows people from such diverse backgrounds and all to be brought together in one mind, one spirit, and one accord. Why? Because the truth of God's Word is lifted up. Training for the battle and the challenges that are set before us. How do we best do that? We get into the Word. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That is simple encouragement, exactly what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Go. There is no need in your life for it. I struggle with the stuff in my life. If you came to my house, you tried to go into my office at work, you'd look at that desk and you would question whether or not there is a desk there. You would see stuff. I don't know if I trust somebody with a clean desk. I really don't know. It kind of makes me suspicious over there when everything is so organized that you can't. So I always struggle with getting all the pieces. Now, we're going to do these bullet. We're going to do these templates on these books, though. That's one thing I'm confident, Terry. We're going to be able to do this because we're detail-oriented. Bob, we're going to start from the front of the Bible. We're going to turn it right side up. Just let you know on the first one. We're going to make these guys challenged. The details of life, the challenges that I have by taking God's word and what I read in there and placing it within my life and start getting rid of a lot of the stuff that I've got that I don't need. Sometimes we need a yard sale. I'm not only talking about the stuff in your house, in your garage, in your attic. I've got enough Christmas ornaments in my attic to decorate, I don't know, a dozen or two Christmas trees, and I don't even put up a Christmas tree. That's how sad it is. But the things in our life, the stuff in our life that needs to be thinned out to allow us to have a clearer or better focus on the things that God wants us to do. Yolanda came to me this morning. She says, I have an idea to send a letter of support into someone that I heard about in prayer request time. And I felt bad because I don't have any new church stationery, and I was a little guilty about it like that. And so I caught her to the side, and she says, oh, no, I've already printed off some little things here in my case. God will take care of the details if you let him. If you clear your mind and your plate enough to allow God to start to work, you'll be amazed about what is going to happen. General Norman Schwarzkopf, remember that guy? I loved him. I don't know about you. I was a big fan of Storm and Norman. During that old Gulf time, he was just a... I don't know, kind of a tell-it-like-it-is guy. How do you want to describe him? I don't know how you do that, but to me, one of the fellows that I think that we're very fortunate to have to serve for this country. And later on, he wrote a book. The title of that book is It Doesn't Take a Hero. Doesn't Take a Hero. Talking about the challenges we have in our life and how simple, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. And then he traveled about the country talking about he had 11 points that he would reinforce. And the fifth point in his teaching was this. Don't repaint the flagpole. And that was his point. He said, don't repaint the flagpole. Well, what do you mean by that? So many times we find ourselves in churches going through the same little over and over again things. We've done that before. We'll do it again. That job's been done. We're good at it. So we continue to do that little job and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Where I believe that God wants us to see things new and afresh. He wants to bring to us new challenges. He wants to allow us to see things a little differently through his eyes if we're willing to yield to him. I know the challenges that we all have. How many times it's so difficult to find time to keep your focus, to juggle all the things that we have in life, all the decisions that need to be made, all the people that we need to tell and show that we love them and care for them. But you got to think to yourself, why would he bring us here like this? I'm going to let you out a little early this morning. I kept you a little late last week. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to focus on redeeming the time that we have. I love the example and expression, if someone gave you a bank account and they put in it every day $1,440. You ought to smile. Oh, that sounds good down in Brooklyn. Yes, that's it. Oh, yeah. Shall we start? We would start with you. You'd be happy, yes. Let's say you have that bank account and every day it placed in it is $1,440. The only challenge is every day you have to spend that $1,440 because tomorrow will be gone. Every day has 1,440 minutes in it. The challenge that we face is how are we going to spend that time? Are we going to spend it on stuff? Or are we going to say the words that bring grace to others? Are we going to be challenged within our heart of hearts to lift up those in need that talk about gentleness and kindness and warmth and understanding and that big one saying forgiveness? Are we able to implement these things within our lives to better redeem the time that God has given us? We came back from the convention, and Brother Bob gave me a picture. Later on, I'll let you see this little picture if you're curious. It's a picture of myself. We're the heavyset fellow in the middle there, right, Bob? And I am flanked on both sides by the twins that sang with the Dixie Echoes here at Mount Calvary Community Church. If you were here that night and that little fellow came out looking about 14 years old and started on that first note, I want to know. And everybody just, their eyes got so big and they were so excited. These gentlemen are learning how to redeem the time at such a young age. There are wonderful things that we will do in our lives, but my goodness, what a future is in front of certain individuals we have in our midst today. That's where the key and the warmth and the understanding, that's when God can just take a hold of it. If you've got young people, anywhere from the age of 2 to 92, you ought to embrace them. You ought to tell them what they mean to you. You ought to share the love of God and put some feet on your prayers by doing what you can. And I believe that God is going to bless it. Nothing earth-shattering. Nothing that you haven't heard since the days of your kindergarten or Sunday school. But oh, when it gets a hold of you, what God can do. Heavenly Father, we've come to your house today. We have lifted up your name. We've sung the praises, Heavenly Father. We have shared what you've laid upon our hearts. Allow us to be a part of the challenge in focusing our time, our attention, our talents, our everything that you've given us on your work. Allow us to be rich in kindness, overflowing in encouragement so it simply just rubs off. Heavenly Father, be with those prayer requests again. We thank you for each one that took part and helped out in the service today. Most of all, God, we thank you for sending a son die upon a cross for us. We thank you that we can stand boldly and shout out, redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. And Heavenly Father, if it be your will, bring us back again to lift up praises unto your name. Give us a good day. Give us a day that we will rejoice and be glad in.
And let us know that, Heavenly Father, we're so fortunate to be your children. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen.